Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents At the Buzzer by E.M. Moore. Narrated by Elizabeth Russell. Chapter 1. I see red. I know it's just a figure of speech, and that I shouldn't actually see a haze of red in front of me and nothing else. But no, for me, it's actually more than that. Whenever I hear the snapping of my bone from Lake's careless brunt force, my peripheral vision tinges in a crimson blood-red color. My body explodes in surges of heat when I pull up his satisfied smirking face. Or, God forbid, if anyone dares to speak his name, I start to shake with the hatred filling me. My skin tingles and sparks like the crackling of fire, and I want nothing more than to cease his very existence. I want him gone. He's tried to take everything from me. First my ballers, then my career. I don't know how far he'll go just because he doesn't like me, or because he doesn't want me on his basketball team, or because he doesn't want me to take his spot from him. Or maybe it's because he sees red when he sees me. I now understand the way he looked at me with so much hatred in the bar that night when I tried to help him. Because I feel the same. He better not ever come close to me again. I will lose my fucking shit. The only thing is, I might not even have to worry about Lake coming around anymore. Hayes, Ryan, Sloane, and Alec are all mine now, and they're not going to let that snake get to me. Glancing up, I look straight into Hayes's dazzling blue eyes. His brows are pulled together as he carefully avoids my cast and squeezes my other hand in his. Behind him, Sloane is waiting not so patiently for his turn to greet me, his arms crossed in front of his chest. Judging by how fast they made it through my house to where I'm waiting in the pool area, they probably sprinted just to see who would get to me first.
"Any news?"
Hayes asks. I love him for his concern. Before Lake broke my wrist, I would lift my right hand to trace it over Hayes's sharp cheekbones. Now I have to lift my left hand, because my right is just too awkward. "It was just another batch of X-rays to send to the doctor in L.A., I tell them. I don't know anything more than I did a couple of weeks ago, but my heart clenches that their worry for me matches what I'm feeling on the inside. I wish I knew. I want to know everything now. I've had the purple cast on for 2 weeks. After Dad, Mom, and I flew to Los Angeles straight from camp, we saw the sports doctor my dad was able to get us into. They poked and prodded. We hemmed and hawed over details. Bottom line, I told them I wanted to play this season. Because of that, the fancy doctor set the break and then put me in this cast. How well my wrist heals will determine when I come out of the cast and hopefully rehab in time for tryouts. It'll be pushing it, and that's if everything heals the way it should. When Hayes just blinks at me, I say, "The imaging place has to send it to the doctor in L.A. before they can tell me if it's healing properly." My dad doesn't even ask for the opinions of the doctors and techs here. He wants to hear it straight from the doc in L.A. Sloane moves closer. He about hip-checks Hayes out of the way before dropping a kiss to the top of my head. "I'm sure everything's fine." I smile up at him. The kiss he pressed into my scalp sends warm tingles over me, fighting back the near-constant anger hovering just under the surface. I let it fill me up, so that by the time my mother's footsteps sound in the doorway, I actually feel the smile I'm portraying on the outside. My mother's steps stop just at the entrance to the sunroom. "Thank God for you boys. She doesn't ever smile when you guys aren't here." I know she's saying it to tease, but it's also the truth. Neither one of us have been feeling very happy lately. I'm miserable, and she's worried. We aren't making the best pair at all. Hayes steps back, taking the lounger next to me now that my mom's here. We try to keep the extent of our involvement with one another to a minimum in front of parents and other outsiders. I have enough on my plate. I really don't want to have to explain to my mother that I like 4 guys, that I'm actively involved with all of them, and that I don't plan on giving any of them up anytime soon. Or ever. I'm banking on ever.
Glad we could help, Mrs. D, Sloane says.
I'm pretty sure my mother swoons over Sloane. She hides it well, but her cheeks pink a little when he talks, especially when he says things like, Mrs. D. His charm oozes out of him without restraint and can be overwhelming at times. I think if she had her way, I'd be Mrs. Sloane Ivy when I grow up. Sloane sends me a quick wink, and now I'm the one who's blushing. If it weren't for the damn cast, I'd be asking him for a repeat of our skinny-dipping venture. I mean, the pool is right there. It would be so easy to recreate what happened between us. Another type of heat engulfs me, and I look away before my mother guesses it. She knows I had sex with my ex-boyfriend, but I don't need to be forthcoming enough to tell her that I'd love to jump into bed with my ballers. All of them. Now that I can let myself feel everything that I tried to hold back in case things didn't work out again, I swear I'm constantly trying to wrangle my hormones. I'm pretty sure the guys know it, too. I can say one thing. My hormones are a great distraction from everything else that's going on. My mother's gaze roams over my body. She checks me over now on a daily basis, like I should be ensconced in bubble wrap and cellophane. Her stare lingers on my purple cast, and her face pinches slightly. I won the argument about returning to Rockport High. Honestly, I think she just felt too sorry for me to argue about it anymore. It didn't even take that much begging for her to concede. When I look at her while she's evaluating me, I'm almost positive she thinks I won't be able to play this year, and that's why she was swayed so easily. If I ask her, she won't admit it. She tells me I'll be ready. She tells me she has every faith in me that I'll overcome this. Her words feel nice. They're exactly what they should be. In the moment, I bask in them. But then there are times like this when I wonder if she really thinks that at all. If she's just glad for the guys because of the distraction it gives me from what's really going on. Because what's really going on is that I have no idea if I'll be ready to try out in 6 weeks, much less play up to par when the season actually starts.
Now where are you guys going tonight?
Mom asks, a quirk of her eyebrow after she confirms to herself that I'm still here, and that for the moment I'm not in any immediate danger of losing my shit. Sloane speaks up right away.
To Alex's baseball game. We'll bring her home after.
She nods like she hasn't heard me tell her this exact same thing a few times now.
Take care of her.
Of course, Hayes says.
My mother's gaze darts to Hayes. He barely ever speaks, so when he does, she always looks surprised. But there's one thing he's not messing around with anymore, and that's to make sure that I'm okay. I'm pretty sure that if a plane was in danger of crashing into the house at this very second, he'd throw his body over mine in an attempt to make sure nothing happened to me. I think it's guilt for not stopping Lake. I hope it's not. It's no one's fault but the psycho's. She places her hands on her hips, her motherly gaze sweeping over all of us.
Okay, then. Good.
She turns her eyes on me.
Keep your phone on you. I know it's hard for you to text like a pro right now, but one-word answers are fine just to let me know that you're okay.
If you want, Mrs. D, you can take my number. That way you can text me if you want to know what's going on.
My stare runs up the length of Sloane, starting with his cargo shorts, his trim waist, and then the collared shirt that hugs his body in just the perfect way. Almost like it was tailored just for him. And honestly, that could be the case. The senator's son has to keep up appearances no matter what. My mother actually takes him up on that. I gawk as they retreat to the other room for my mom to grab her cell phone. My jaw unhinges when they continue to have a pleasant conversation, and I really want to ask Sloane what the hell he thinks he's doing.
Does my mom really need his cell phone number?
He's going for brownie points, Hayes says.
The sound of his voice drifts over me like a caress. I turn toward him. You think? I'm half bitterness, half sarcastic. I don't even know what I want to be right now.
A smile teases his lips. He checks the archway, and when he finds it clear, he moves next to me on the lounger.
It's his evil plan to get your mom to trust us with you more often.
Oh, well, damn. That's actually genius, I admit. My mom has been hovering lately, but it's not her fault. She's worried about me. More for my mental state than for my broken wrist. She knows what not playing ball this year will do to me.
I reach out to turn Hayes's hand over. There's no sign of the split knuckles he had after he punched Lake for the second time because of what he did to me. I never did ask how badly he hurt him, or even if the other guys joined in on it. In fact, I've tried not to talk about Lake at all, even though he's a constant stream of consciousness in my head. Every time I feel pain in my wrist or happen to see the bright purple of my cast, I'm reminded of what he did to me. I just can't help it. My mother knows Lake did it, but she thinks it was a terrible accident. My father, who was there, still contends that it could have been an accident. Ryan, Sloan, Hayes, Alec, and I know better. We let my mom think that, and I even let my dad star in his own fantasy world over it, because, well, so what that he meant to do it? We can't prove it. Besides, I'd rather get him back in a way that doesn't involve denied accusations. I want to get him back where it hurts most. Basketball. That was what he wanted to take from me, so it's only fair that I return the favor. Only I'm actually going to take him out of commission. He should have kept going if he wanted me gone completely. That was his mistake.
Hayes's arm slips around me. He presses his fingertips into my side, and I snuggle into him, pressing my head onto his chest. His long fingers thread through my hair until I relax at his touch. We don't even hear my mom and Sloan anymore, and that's okay. I love being in a Hayes bubble. Despite his quick temper, he's been nothing but a sweet, gentle giant to me.
How have you been feeling lately?
He asks. I smile into his shirt. You just asked me that this morning over text. With just the right amount of pressure, his fingers run down my scalp.
That was this morning, and then you had to get your x-rays. I know you don't like thinking about what happened.
I stare at the purple cast on my lap. It's hard to get away from it, especially with the reminder attached to me. His hand rises to my chin. He lifts, moving my head up to gaze into my eyes. As soon as our eyes meet, it's like I forget how to breathe. My breath hitches, and I blink at him until I'm subconsciously wetting my lips in preparation for what's about to come. Slowly, he eases forward. Everything else in the room might as well not even be there, because it's just Hayes and I in this moment. I meet him in the middle, pressing my lips to his, searching for his protectiveness to fill me up. He kisses like he's attempting to free himself from his silent cage. What he doesn't say in words, he says with his lips and his hands. Gently pulling me to his lap, he crushes his mouth to mine, deepening the kiss. His hands move up my back and then down and over my thighs. He weaves my leg through to the other side of him until I'm straddling his hips, then smooths his hand up my spine before pulling me close, arching his hips at the same time. Oh, God, I groan as soon as we make contact. I'm going to change Hayes's nickname from Iceman to the Big D. It's so not fair how I react to him. To all of them, actually. But since I'm in the Hayes bubble right now, I wrap my good hand around his neck and deepen the kiss, spurring him on.
This isn't good, he murmurs in between fierce kisses. Your mom.
You started it,
I tell him, raking my teeth over his bottom lip. I don't know if I'm testing him or me or both of us. I want to see if Iceman will break. What will it take to get him to want to throw me on the lounger and undo my jeans, to spread my legs and thrust inside? I'm obviously intensely curious about what he'll feel like inside me. Damn it, I groan, shifting my hips closer to him, trying to eke out every feeling I can. It's been getting more and more like this every time I see one of them now. One or all of us is about to cave in a big way. He rolls his hips into mine, and I drop my head back. He kisses my neck, moving lower to the hollow of my throat. I moan, throwing my heavy cast over his shoulder now, too. Well, well, Sloane says from behind us, his voice laced in arousal. Hayes stops moving. He pulls away from me, even though I'm still perched on his lap with my head back. I open my eyes to find Sloane has moved closer. He reaches out to run his hands over my scalp and then down my hair. From my vantage point, he's practically upside down, but the look in his hazel eyes is unmistakable. He's turned on, and he's not one to keep it quiet either. Fuck me, I'm kind of shocked at how hard I am right now. Maybe I'm into watching. I swallow hard. My mind goes there, and I'm not going to sit here and say I don't think that's hot. It is. Hayes pulls me up until I'm looking into his face again. He's staring at Sloane, though, his eyes ice hard.
Tessa and I don't need an audience.
I'm glad no one's looking directly at me right now because I'm bright red. I shift uncomfortably on Hayes's lap until his fingers tighten their hold on me. From the way I'm responding to Sloane's words, I'm pretty sure I'm into having an audience. Sometime. Maybe not now. Or anytime soon. Probably not with Hayes. Or maybe so. Sloane moves closer until I'm sandwiched between them. His hands come to my shoulders as he kneads my muscles there. My legs around Hayes's waist tighten. This movement gathers his attention. He looks down, our gazes colliding. His face flushes when he sees me. If my face is anything like what I'm feeling on the inside, I probably look completely unabashed and ready. Something has to give soon because I can't keep walking around like this. Hayes moves forward and presses a chaste kiss to my lips. He moves to stand and Sloane steps back to give me space so Hayes can set me on my feet. My knees feel like jello, but Sloane has a hold of my waist now. I take a few deep breaths until I feel like I'm returning to normal. Hayes cups my face and smiles. You're evil, I tell him. He arches a brow as he readjusts himself in his shorts.
I could say the same for you, but I'll blame it on Ivy. He's evil because he interrupted us. I wasn't going to interrupt. I was going to join.
I chuckle nervously. Now that I'm not wrapped up in Hayes, I realize there's no way we should have been doing that when my mom could walk right in. I don't want to add embarrassment to my list of things to worry about right now. I clear my throat, needing to change the subject. Where's Ryan? I thought he was meeting us here. Sloane leans over and kisses my ear. When he pulls away, I turn to face him. He's staring at my lips when he says,
He wants us to stop by and get him on our way to the game.
I reach my hand up to rub at my face. Ryan is only a few doors down now. Along with everything else that's going on with me, my dad hired movers to move all of Ryan's and his mother's shit into their new home. I've been inside the foyer once, not attempting to go any further. I know I need to try, but as much as he and Leslie are telling me to act like their home is mine too, it's just so hard.
I think he's avoiding coming over here, Sloane says finally.
My eyes roam toward the archway. I know what he must feel, especially after my mother came to camp to kiss my dad. He's probably expecting her to be even more mad at the situation. But I think it's the opposite. She's not happy, but she's resigned now. My dad's moving in with his girlfriend, after all. There's no turning back.
I guess we better get him then, I say, eager to see Alec play baseball.
With my appointments and x-rays, I haven't been able to watch very many of his games yet.
We could have left a while ago if you two weren't messing around, Sloane teases. I smile up at him.
Like you should talk. You were sucking up to my mother.
He runs his hand up my back as we move toward the front of the house. His hands tease at the nape of my neck.
Don't worry, Daddy's girl. You're the only Dale I want.
You're ridiculous,
I tell him, but an even wider smile pulls my lips apart. My mother was right. I really do only smile when they're around. Currently, they're the only steady thing in my life, and I need that now more than ever. Chapter 2. I get pulled into entering my dad's new house. It seems rude to wait in the car when my dad owns the place, and I can clearly see his SUV in the driveway, so I know he's there. Hayes helps me by holding my hand as I step out of the Jeep and then all the way up the walk toward the foyer. The door is wide open, an arctic blast wafting out from the air conditioning, but movers are going in and out, so it's a bit chaotic inside. Half-opened boxes are stacked in the entryway, and I look at them like they're foreign objects, wondering if any of this stuff is my dad's.
Ryan?
Sloane calls out as we walk inside. I know he already texted him on the way here, which was literally 2 minutes ago. Yep. That's how far apart we live now. I can walk to his house. Hell, I could crawl, hobble, and jump rope here, too. It's just so freaking close. Hayes and I wait inside the foyer, dodging guys in matching red shirts. Ryan comes around the corner, his shorts low on his hips, his broad, well-muscled chest bare in front of us. He's in the process of pulling a shirt on over his head, but it's enough time for me to drink him in. My heart thumps solidly in my chest like it's its own entity. Ryan fucking Link, living in my dad's house. This is seriously happening. He gives a quick check behind him and calls out that he'll be back later. He seems to be moving with super speed through the house, especially when he sees me standing there.
Wait! Leslie calls out.
Ryan stops in his tracks, his gaze moving to mine. There's an apology there I don't understand yet.
Is Tessa here?
I swallow, and Hayes squeezes my hand once before letting it go.
Yes,
Ryan says, his voice filled with aggravation. At the same time, my voice cracks on a, yeah? It seemed stupid to let him answer for me when I'm right there, but I really hate my reaction right now. Why is this so hard for me? Footsteps echo through a room I can't see, and then Leslie moves into view. It might just be my imagination, but she's already looking the part of living up in the hills. She's wearing a halter top that's quite flattering on her, paired with a pair of white shorts. She's shoeless, and her feet say she must have had a pedicure done recently.
There you are, she says.
She looks from me to Ryan, still smiling.
You know Tim wanted to show Tessa her room.
Oh, fuck. Panic sweeps through me. I lift my gaze to Ryan's. He's still sporting an unsaid apology, and I understand it now. He knew they were going to ambush me with this.
We really have to go, Mom, Ryan says, trying to usher us out once more. Tessa can see it some other time. I don't want to be late for Alec's game.
It's working until another voice sounds from deep within the house.
Do I hear my pumpkin?
Seconds later, my dad walks right up next to Leslie and stares at us all. Hayes and Sloane shift uncomfortably.
There you are,
he smiles.
I want to show you something.
I'm fucked now. There's no way I can say no. It's just a harmless room. Seeing it doesn't mean I even have to spend time in it. Looking at it doesn't make it mine. It doesn't mean I ever have to sleep within its walls, or hell, even think about it again. It's just a thing, right? I saw my father not 2 hours ago at my X-ray appointment, but he's dressed down now and sweating like he's been putting a lot of work into making this house a home for them. A pang of guilt hits me for hating all of this. He's happy, so I should at least be happy for him. Yeah, okay, I say. He reaches out for me, and I step ahead, walking right to him. He puts his arm around my shoulders and moves me forward. When we exit the foyer, there's a staircase to our right. The house is different than ours. It's more open, and the staircase is curved, displayed proudly like it's the centerpiece of the house. We walk up, and I can't help but admire how pretty the house is on the inside. There are boxes stacked here and there, but as soon as those are removed, this house will be good for them. Dad squeezes my shoulder as we round the top of the stairs.
The master suite is on the main floor. You and Ryan, as well as the guest rooms, are up here.
I swallow. You and Ryan. Words I never thought I'd hear in the same sentence pertaining to what he's saying right now. I look behind me and see that everyone has followed us up the stairs. Ryan's glaring at the floor, but Sloane and Hayes have their eyes locked on me. It gives me courage to keep taking the next steps without faltering. It's just a house. It's just a room. I don't have to move in with them.
Here's Ryan's,
my dad says, pointing to a room on the right with the door open. He pauses there briefly. I sneak a peek inside. Despite the generous square footage, it looks a lot like his old bedroom. It's decorated the same, missing the giant Lakers poster on the door, though.
And here's yours.
I'm ushered down the hall a little further. Then he spins me to our left, and I'm face to face with a room that clearly screams me.
I hope you don't mind. I picked everything out.
My dad's beaming. I can feel the weight of his smile that's telling me I need to respond in kind. But the weird thing is, I don't have to make myself smile back. It comes to my lips naturally. I actually really like the room. Still not staying in it, but I can admit that he did a good job in captivating me with the furniture and the sheets.
You can change everything if you want to,
Dad says.
I just wanted a place for my pumpkin in my home.
I move further in, taking in the detail he used. My favorite color, purple, is everywhere. Pictures of he, my mom, and I are on the dresser, and an even bigger picture is displayed on the wall from my one and only start in a Rockport High jersey. I haven't seen the picture before today, and I'm immediately drawn to it. Dad, I say, my throat swelling with emotion. It's really nice. Thank you. I trace my fingers over the glass holding back the poster of my ascent into the air, the basketball barely away from my fingers as I jump for a layup. You can just barely see the top of the 9 on my jersey.
Someone sent that to me,
my dad says, his voice close now.
I had it enhanced and framed. I thought you could use it for motivation to get you back to playing.
My throat threatens to close on me. I swallow through it and turn toward him, giving him a hug. He swallows me in his long arms. In moments like this, I miss my dad who was always around. I know things will get better from here, but I'll always miss him living in the same house. It'll feel so different now. When we separate and I look up, Ryan's mom is in the doorway, and I immediately clam up. This isn't my room, no matter how nice he tries to make it for me. And it is nice. It still doesn't feel right. I love that he's trying, though. Thanks, Dad, I say, feeling the awkwardness crawl over me again. Behind his mom, I hear Ryan and the guys talking. How freaking weird would it be to be here and just have the guys stop by any time because they're Ryan's friends? What if I had grown up like that? What if that happens now? My dad squeezes my shoulder.
Glad you like it, Pumpkin. I gotta get back to the movers.
He leans down and kisses the top of my head.
Have fun at the game.
I've seen Dad more in the past 2 weeks than I've seen him since he left my mom. He said one of the reasons...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?